Thomas will stand as on the king's judge.
David Charles Benbow, you're being found guilty to one charge of murder. Have you anything to say why the sentence should not be passed upon you according to law?
On the 5th of March 2024, David Benbow was sentenced for the murder of his childhood friend, Michael McGrath. Benbow had been found guilty 5 months earlier. It took two trials, but eventually a jury was satisfied that he had killed McGrath in May 2017 after learning his friend had started a relationship with his former partner, Joanna Green. Green had left Benbow only a couple of months earlier and taken their two daughters with her. Benbow, enraged, invited McGrath to his house one morning on false pretenses, where he shot him dead and disposed of the body, the gun, and any trace of the crime. Nearly 7 years later, Michael McGrath still hasn't been found. From the Press newsroom, this is the final bonus episode of The Trial by Michael Wright. Sentencings can be a bit strange. They often come months after a trial, where you've gotten used to seeing and hearing the same people every day. And the verdict is what most people are interested in, what brings finality to a case. Our last episode back in October was literally called Resolution.
Members of the jury, have you unanimously agreed upon your verdict?
We have.
Do you find the defendant, David Charles Benbow, guilty of murder or not guilty of murder?
Guilty of murder.
Mr. Four-person members of the jury, your jury service is now at an end. You may retire, and I thank you. And just to counsel, I thank you and commend you for your conduct of the case. It's been difficult, complex and demanding. I'll now retire, thank you.
So reconvening after so long for sentencing can feel a bit odd, almost like an afterthought. But it's important, not just for the definitive prison term. Sentencing also gives a victim's family and friends the chance to speak freely, often for the first time, and in a murder trial, directly to the killer themselves.
Did this mean nothing to you? You still get to live your life.
You have caused so much sadness, pain and disbelief.
Your sociopathic response to save yourself.
So on March 5th, David Benbow faced judgment one last time. He sat in the dock in the same courtroom where he stood trial. The same lawyers were there, prosecutors Barnaby Hawes and Claire Bosher, and Benbow's counsel, Kirsten Gray and Kathy Bazier. The public gallery was full of family, McGrath's and Benbow's. Justice Jonathan Eaton was presiding.
Thank you, Mr. Hawes. Mr. Benbow, you may take a seat. Thank you. Now, I understand, Mr. Hawes, that we have four victim impact statements to be read.
A sentencing is a pretty involved process. If you see the media coverage of one, it usually leads with a number, how many years in prison. But it takes a long time to get there. Lawyers have to submit their arguments for what they think is a fair sentence, and the judge has to consider those, the details of the crime, and what sentences were handed down in other similar cases.
All right, Mr. Kevin McGrath, will you please come forward?
And then there are the victim impact statements. This is where the McGrath family got to face David Benbow for what they had long seen him as, Michael's killer. McGrath's mother, Adrian McGrath, who Benbow was once so close to he called her mum himself, spoke first.
My name is Adrian McGrath, Michael's mother. I didn't ever imagine that my life would be turned upside down like this. Losing a child is the worst pain I have ever experienced. I feel as though I have been given a life sentence of loss. Benbow, did this mean nothing to you? You still get to live your life. Michael hasn't been given that opportunity. Your mother still has you as a son. Well, I will never have Michael in my life again. You have taken that away from me. You had choices. You didn't have to take that path.
Then came Joanna Green, Benbow's former partner and the mother of their two daughters, whose relationship with McGrath was the catalyst for his death. By court order, we've distorted her voice here.
I had always adored and respected Mike. Finding out he felt the same, going from friends to our next level relationship was magic. You took Michael Craig McGrath from me, and your relationship was refreshing, honest, affectionate, respectful, humorous, and passionate. Mike was my future. Every morning I wake up, every day, every night, constantly thinking and going over where Mike is. Is he at peace? Did he put up a fight? Did he suffer? What was his last thought? You have caused so much sadness, pain, and disbelief too, and for so many people. I despise you.
The last person to give a statement was Michael McGrath's brother, Simon. For years, Simon had been the voice of the family as they searched for Michael and watched the police investigation inch forwards. During the trials, he had struggled to hold his tongue about Benbow's guilt. Now, he did not.
You sat there stone-faced and watched your solicitors dredge up my brother's life piece by piece. They could only obtain much of these details from you. To denigrate him in this manner is your sociopathic response to save yourself. Have you conveniently forgotten Michael is still missing? I ask this court to consider the magnitude and impact of this horrific crime. The convicted has displayed disturbing levels of manipulation and premeditation to bring about the execution of my brother.
Next, it was the lawyer's turn. The Crown arguing for a longer sentence, the defence for a shorter one. When the time came for Justice Eaton to address David Benbow directly, he focused on what he called the aggravating factors of the crime.
First, there was heightened planning and premeditation. Second, there's the callousness in the disposal of Mr. McGrath's body. Third, there's the concealing of evidence, including the firearm. Fourth, the murder involved the use of a lethal weapon. Fifth, the offending involved what I would describe as a breach of trust. You took advantage of an unsuspecting and therefore vulnerable old friend. And finally, the significant harm that you've heard articulated this morning in the victim impact statements that you've caused to Mr. McGrath's family and to Ms. Green. When I stand back and look at those aggravating factors, I think the Crown are right in their written submissions described this as an execution-style killing. Not surprisingly.
Justice Eaton was on his way to explaining why he believed a fair sentence was life, with a long minimum period of imprisonment.
Mr. Benbow, I take the view you were not willing to stand by and watch another man not only forge a loving relationship with the mother of your children, but to step into a fatherly role to your children. I'm very conscious this has been a very long and very challenging road for all of Michael McGrath's family and friends, and that regardless of the trials, you will continue to be pained not knowing where Michael is. I'm also conscious that no sentence that I might impose will redress that pain that began almost 7 years ago. Mr. Benbow, would you please stand? Mr. Benbow, on the charge of murdering Michael McGrath, you are sentenced to life imprisonment. I also impose a minimum period of imprisonment of 17 years. You may stand down.
As Justice Eaton handed down his sentence, Benbow stood, emotionless, staring straight ahead, much like he had through two trials and one verdict. Throughout the sentencing, he hadn't once looked at Michael McGrath's family in the public gallery, or turned his head to acknowledge the ones who stood and spoke directly to him about how he had upended their lives. After he was stood down, Benbow was led back to the cells by his guards. This required him to turn around in the dock and walk back towards the door. Even then, with the eyes of everyone on him, he averted his gaze. And that was that. David Benbow will spend at least the next 17 years in prison. I know you all listen right to the end of the credits after every episode, so you'll know that I always say thanks for listening, but thank you for listening to the trial. And to everyone who's given us a rating or a review or got in touch to share their thoughts. The more you do, the easier it is for us to make podcasts like this one. And on that note, if you like the trial, then keep your ears on this feed because we'll have another podcast for you very soon. I can't say much yet, but if you're a fan of true crime, courtroom drama, and unsolved mysteries, this one could be for you. Stay tuned.
If you like this podcast, please support our work. Visit stuff.co.nz/support.
If you don't have time to read the in-depth stories or you just prefer to listen instead, the Long Read from Stuff is the podcast for you. Each week we showcase one of our excellent pieces of journalism, telling important or entertaining stories from the world of crime, sport, history, culture and more. You also get to hear from the journalists themselves about how they uncovered the story and how it came to life. So for your weekly dose of long-form journalism, beautifully read, subscribe to the Long Read from Stuff wherever you get your podcasts.